Hello and welcome to this special episode. Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, Feedback and More episode. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Hey everyone, this is another live episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, Feedback and More episode. I'd like to say hi to Films About Ghosts. I think Mandy's there. Let's see if we can see who else is there.
Helga's listening. She may not be.
Helga's listening. Yep. And Monica's out there. And Malini's there. Natasha's not too far behind. So, and I don't think Tyler is in the chat room as yet.
No, but Tyler said he was not able to make it. I think he said he wasn't sure he was going to be able to make it. He was working at his dad's shop, and They took a detour, and I guess it took them a little longer than he expected. So he probably is not going to be able to join us tonight.
Okay, very good. All right.
Listen,
well, not very good that he's not going to be here.
No, but no. But he was doing something really cool, and I can't wait to see what he was working on. So,
hi, Torty Prism. How are you?
Hello.
She's making some hot chocolate, looks like.
Yum.
Cool.
I'm making a scarf.
Yeah. So here we are, Colleen is, hey, Dave, what's happening?
Hey.
Great that you are there. And my wife is knitting yet again.
I am.
So
I knit as often as I can because I'm enjoying it thoroughly. And I want to finish this scarf, man.
Absolutely.
I've been working on it for 2 weeks now, and I want to finish it. So
we're doing well, and I think we're going to start and kind of touch on some sad news.
Actually, before you do that, real quick, Tyler is listening. He's just not logged in.
Okay.
So, hey, Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. Thanks so much. So we have just heard that, and this is obviously a non- Once Upon a Time subject, but Whitney Houston has passed on. She's passed away, and very sad. And
it's surreal.
Yeah.
It's surreal. I mean, you know, we grew up, you and I did, grew up with her because she's actually just a little bit older than you are.
Yeah.
She was just a tiny bit, like weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she's a few years older than I am, but we grew up with her. I mean, she was the soundtrack of my, you know, high school.
Yeah.
So it's really, really very tragic, tragic story and a tragic loss. And, you know, my heart goes out to her daughter.
Right.
Because it's such a difficult thing to lose a parent at any age, but especially for a teenage girl, I can't imagine. I just can't.
Well, we're kind of used to hearing great voices kind of more frequently because there's so many singing voices, singing shows, talent shows out there. But when Whitney Houston started to sing, it was magical. It really was. I mean, she had a voice like none other. So
yeah, that's true. It's very.
But yeah. I did do a quick little search, and I did. One of her films was a Touchstone film, which was a branch of Disney. And mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. You know, the Preacher's Wife. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I did at least want to touch on that. And
well, and she actually did. She direct and was the fairy godmother, if I remember correctly, either directed or produced Cinderella like version with Brandy.
Right. That's right.
In the lead lead role. So, and I'm pretty sure she was very godmother in it, but it's still just very tragic.
At this point, we don't know really the cause of death. They're really investigating that.
Yeah.
And, she was 48.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right around that. So, it kind of gives you,
you're not right around that, honey. You are. That.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm right on that.
You are.
So I did want to say this, that, this is not just a podcast, is that we really care about you guys. And when we don't see you posting or something, mm-hmm. we wonder about you guys and how you are and what's happening. And that's why we love the emails when you can and the voicemails and all that. And, I just kind of want to give you an idea that, it's definitely more than just a show and all this kind of stuff. But, we care about you guys. So,
yes, there was a post today. Sorry. There was a post today that, one of the deputies posted out, and one of the tags they used was family. We've said that before it holds true.
Right. So we're going to move on, and hopefully we just kind of had a bit of dinner. So I may need a little water here and there.
Yeah, you might need a little bit just to kind of keep it moving.
But
this is the live show, folks.
That's true. So, a bunch of things have really happened today. Today has been one of those days that just things have just been happening. The deputies for the show have been hard at work, and it's been an amazing thing to kind of watch. So I thank them, and we also have had a lot of really cool things happen as well. I do want to mention this. There is a special post that's gone up on the website at onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires a password to view pictures from the set of filming of Once Upon a Time in Steveston. These are exclusive. Nobody else has them. Just us.
Just us.
And I received them, and I put them up in a post, and we're going to give the password out later on in the show. So you got to stay tuned. And, if folks are kind of tweeting out and this and that, obviously it's going to be available for the people that download and listen to the show later. But the key is to listen to the show however you need to. And you will get the password to view these photos. And we're just really now the actors are not in the photos, but they are set photos of the sets being ready for filming. So some of them are actually pretty close in to what's happening. It's really exciting to look at these. So anyway, we're going to announce the password later on in the show.
Yes.
So. Just a few things. All these things that are happening to this show don't just happen because of us. It always takes other people. And that's why we've always said you guys are a great part of this show. And it takes a lot of other people to make things happen.
Yes.
And Mitch English, I've mentioned him before. He's a weather guy from a very funny syndicated news show called The Daily Buzz.
They're in Florida, if I remember right.
Yes.
It's where it's based.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It used to be, the Full Sail studios there in Florida. They may still be there. Anyway, he is a really funny guy. He's a great, great, cool guy to me. And we've tweeted back and forth and really funny on the show. And he's been linking to a lot of the posts and even the posts of the deputies that put up as well. So
yes.
We sent big love out to him and still send big love out to Mitch, because what we do is really dependent on so many other people. So he's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bailey Madison. And I don't know if many people know who she is, but she was in Just Go With It with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. And Brooklyn
Decker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very funny movie. If you haven't seen it, it's actually pretty funny. It's very cute.
Yep. So, and she also was in a film, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark or something like that. Oh, anyway, she's had a number of films and, mm-hmm. and different things, but she has been cast in Once Upon a Time to play the young Snow White.
So that'll be interesting.
So, you know, when you look at her, you say, man, that's a perfect, perfect cast. She's excellent as the young Snow White. Yes. So,
I just got a ping that people are asking in the chat room if the photos are spoilery, and no, they are not.
No. Nope.
Not at all.
Nope. Mm-mm.
I've seen them. They're not spoilery.
Nope. And
yeah, they're cool. They're really cool pictures, actually. Yeah.
And you feel like you're actually
there.
They're on the set looking mm-hmm. in windows and different things. It's really, really amazing. And also,
we take you to Storybrooke.
Yeah. If I'm certain there's a picture car that's driven by one of the very powerful ladies of Storybrooke, I'm certain. So anyhow, Bailey Madison, there's a really cool picture that she sent out of her. Actually, it looks like to me landing in the Vancouver area.
Yeah.
And her being picked up by the car
service,
for the production service. And she also was tweeting out that she was being fitted for costumes and different things. So,
and it's sounded really like neat. Contacts too, which means,
because
I believe Jenny has blue eyes, if I remember correctly. They're bluish.
Yeah.
And Bailey's are brown, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting.
Yep. So also, now you know that we love all the cast of Once Upon a Time.
We do.
All of them.
We do.
Whether it be dwarfs,
yes,
or Rumpelstiltskin,
ooh, yeah,
or Evil Queens, or whoever, all
Ruby.
Of them. Ruby.
Why is it that the last few times I've had to remind you about her?
Well, because, you know, you're not fixated.
You're not pervy either.
I know. I really appreciate.
But come on. You're a guy. For the guys, you got to do it for the guys.
She is very attractive.
I'm just saying.
And I really think that her role is really going to be great as it continues out.
Yes.
And Megan Ori, if you're listening, just in case you are, hello from the Once Upon a Time fan podcast.
Yes.
So anyhow, but Blue Fairy and I, we have kind of tweeted back and forth today.
Nice.
And it's been an exciting day.
Yes.
And so I tweeted to her, I said, Once Upon a Time is the only podcast that continues to mention the Blue Fairy because it's the right thing to do. And she replied back and said, thanks, you know,
yep,
a little smiley face and everything.
That's cute.
And then there was another person, and Manny's here. Hey, Manny, what's going on?
Hey, Manny.
And there's another person that said, before I even go on, mm-hmm, have you noticed something's missing from this show?
What?
No pops.
Ooh.
I have solved the popping problem.
Yay!
And you know, Mixler did not really help me. I had to kind of dig in and fix it myself.
Mm. By the way, Brenda's here too.
Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Brenda.
What's up?
Just want to do our little shout outs when I see
and
people
Lane,
posting.
And Lane 1979 Liz is here. Hello there.
That's Liz.
So, anyhow, and then a friend of mine, or a person that's following me, he replied to her with my name as well. And he says, you know, more Blue Fairy is the best. And so she replied back and said, isn't that the truth? Something like that. And I just went, wow, this is really, really neat. You know, Blue Fairy Day. So
it's been a blue day.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Meg is up in Portland, from what I understand. Something about voodoo donuts or something.
Yeah, I remember him posting something about that.
So, anyway, that's exciting as well.
It is.
And the deputies are hard at work. They're hard at work now.
Yes, they are.
In
right
the
now
chat room for the Mixler. So
yes,
we appreciate them. It does seem a little strange without the pops now, I got to say. I'm just kind of used to them. But anyway, they're all gone. So
yeah,
the
see,
folks
now
that,
you have to pay more attention to the board.
That's true.
Because I can't see it.
Right.
I only see Twitter.
So anyhow, the store for our podcast is store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. That's available for you. All of Amazon, whatever you want to buy, please use our store link, and you can you can use that and purchase things. Our survey's still going on. It's survey.onceuponatimepodcast.com. All we want to do is find out generally where you're from. You don't have to give your name.
Yeah.
And then also how you found out about us. That's really the most important question.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quick, back to Brenda sent a post saying that she loved Bailey Madison on Wizards of Waverly Place.
Right. That's right.
Yes. Yep. So just wanted to make sure we point that out too, because, you know.
Well, it's a brilliant move. I mean, not only does she look like a young Snow White, but it's also a connection to the Disney audience, which is perfect.
Yep.
Absolutely
it
perfect.
Is. It is. So anywho, back to the survey. Hey, so if we did another survey of sorts, like a poll, it's more like a poll than anything else, right?
Well, not necessarily. Possibly.
I mean, they're all anonymous. It's not like we're not asking you for personal, you know, information. We're not asking for your PIN numbers or anything like that.
No.
But when we do surveys, if we wanted to do surveys about interests and things like that, would that go over real well with the group, with the crowd, or what do you think?
Yeah. The goal with that is, my thinking is where you go, forums maybe that you're a part of, or certain areas or interests that you have, that if you like those, then probably other folks that might be interested in this show would like those as well. So that's really the thought behind that. So we may create a survey for that and, you know, put that up. So anyway, it was just a thought.
Your dinner's fighting you this evening, isn't it? Well, it's making you.
Yeah.
You know, that whole moving
so
forward.
I want to thank my retweeters.
Yes.
And I want to remind everybody that the most powerful way to really spread the word about this show is to retweet.
Yep.
And every time there's something that's going out about an episode or a blog post, if you would take a moment and retweet that out to your followers, we would really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so I just want to bring that up again, as we really appreciate you taking the time to retweet what we tweet out. So did we say our names?
For the first time, I think I forgot to even remind you. No, we didn't.
This is Jeff Roney.
Yes.
Long O. And
Long O.
Instead of Rooney or Ronnie.
Oh.
It's Roney.
Roney as in Macapepa Risa.
Right. That's right. And you are?
Colleen Roney.
Yep. So people are listening for the first time. They go, who are these people?
Who are these crazy yahoos?
So one more thing is, our show is on iTunes. If you have not already, or if you're a new listener, it could quite possibly be. We're getting new listeners all the time. Please head over to iTunes. Give us a review. And 5-star reviews really translate to happiness our way. So 5 stars, really good.
5 stars, really good.
Yes. And a review, we really appreciate those as well. So please do that for us. And now we're going to dive into some emails, if my knitting wife would.
Really? I guess we could do that.
Well, that's really part of the show.
Well,
the
I know. Emails. Do we have anything other business we can talk about, though? Or no?
I went through my
We're just going to dive right into business.
Well, I guess the only thing is that the goal of all of the things that we're kind of talking about, the retweeting and the deputies and the blog posts and Mitch and all that, it's happening.
Yep.
It is happening. And the it that's happening is, our show is growing. It's stronger. And, we're not the only game in town, but we feel that this is the best show that we can do. We're proud of this show, and we're so happy that you guys are here, a part of this show. And because of that, that's why we ask for you to take a survey, you to retweet, and all that. But the bottom line is, it is happening. And so we're so excited about that. We want the show to grow. We want more people to listen. And yes. That's why we ask.
And I thought things. We had one more item of business because you mentioned
that
two.
Is right. Obi's girl
sent
me an email about something very, very, very exciting. We've been asking for this. A lot of people have. And Mark Isham is going to release the score for Once Upon a Time. So the ABC will release the Once Upon a Time original score EP, the extended play album, disc, whatever, release on Tuesday, February 14th, 2012 as an iTunes digital download.
Yay!
The original music was written by Mark Isham, et cetera, et cetera. A full-length album will be released this spring. And we don't have a date on that. So, an extended play version, probably a little longer than the suite that was offered as a free download that I got.
Yes.
Will be available on Tuesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day. A great little gift for yourself or someone that you love.
Yeah.
As an iTunes digital download. So, the full-length album will be released in the spring. So.
Okay, well, that's right around the corner. But actually, there's one other thing I thought you were going to talk about because you promised you would talk about it. It was a question on Twitter from Rayanne, who might be listening.
Which thing?
Oh, for the love of Pete. What meetup are we talking about?
Oh, the meetup. Okay, very good. That's seeing I need people around me to remind me.
People? So, people? I'm people?
No, everybody. Everybody.
People?
You're not people.
Okay.
So anyway, we have planned a meetup.
Yep. Informal. Just
informal, kind of hanging, talking, just a meetup.
Yeah.
So the meetup is going to be September 15th and 16th at Disneyland.
Sure.
So what's nice is we have Twitter and different things so we can kind of communicate and find a nice spot to exactly meet.
But right. It'll be very, very informal.
At Disneyland.
Very informal. And it's if you can make it this year, great. If not, then you know what? Start saving up for next year. We'll plan another meetup next year and we'll make a more, you know, formal thing about it. We'll have a better, you know, an agenda. We'll get all that stuff, all the details fixed for next year. But we wanted to do something kind of quick and easy. And we figured, you know, September gives people a little bit of a chance to maybe save up a little bit of money, come down here, and just kind of hang out and say hi, you know, ride a few rides together, whatever. We'll figure something out.
The survey is, the question came in. The survey is at survey.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Kind of easy.
Mm-hmm.
So Manny's talking about trolls. What's happening, Manny? What trolls are we talking about?
Do we have trolls?
No, we have deputies to take care of the trolls.
Right. The deputies have fairy dust and they take care of the trolls.
Absolutely. So let's go into our, sorry for the throat clearing, folks. The first email comes from, and it's a great point that David B. has sent in, is, let's see, in episode 8, Desperate Souls, we see the mention of Pumpkin Weekend in the Storybrooke Daily Mirror. So we know that Halloween must be approaching, probably mid to late October 2011. Just four episodes later, we've jumped ahead to February 2012. Once Upon a Time, Skin Deep, Emma. So we're kind of talking about the different types of holidays that we can kind of follow.
Okay.
And so even in episode 11, Fruit of the Poisonous Tree, the wind is blowing and Emma is seen wearing a hat. So it must be starting to get cold out early November. So it's very interesting is to kind of as we
what?
Well, is everything okay with the chat room? I see follower problem.
What?
I don't know. Huh? Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So, anyhow. So we're following the progression of the different the different seasons through Once Upon a Time. And so, yeah, I mean, it can be kind of tricky. They may be trying to kind of fit it in here and there, but that's a good point. So, cool. So we're moving on to the next email, and the answer to David's question is going to be kind of like following the progression of the fairy tale land, is that there's probably pieces missing, but it's not going to be fully filled in until later on. He's got a great point, is you can check for different things like hats and wind and leaves, and you can kind of see at what point in time it is. So here's another email. It says, hello, everyone, from Once Upon a Time. I think she means a fan podcast, and that's cool. This is from Liz. Hi, my name is Liz, and I'm 18 years old. I have been watching the show since it came out. I love it, and so does my family. You guys do an amazing job. I love Jennifer Morrison. We do, too. Mm-hmm. She does such a wonderful job acting. You can tell that she has put a lot of hard work into it. I like how Emma is not afraid of anything and stands up for what she believes in. I found your website recently, and I like it a lot. I hope that the show will continue to last. May God bless you all. From Liz. Thank you very much.
Yay.
We will take that for sure.
Yeah, we will.
And yeah, Emma kind of had a tough week last week. She
did.
Kind of had a tough one.
She did.
But things can only get better. So this is from Tiffany. And she found our podcast. She really enjoys it. And really kind of the crux of it was that she would like a little kind of a short, brief recap in front of the regular episode. And I have really kind of dropped that. I just never really had thought about it, because my thinking is that folks have kind of watched the show and they kind of know what episode it is. But we will do our best to kind of incorporate at least something very short. You know, that's the one thing that you know, you want to do, but you don't want to do because, you know, what's too much and what's not enough and that kind of a thing. So, but she had some really kind words and really said that our podcast reminded her of the old the transmission from Hawaii, Jen and Ryan. And the transmission was the original Lost podcast. It was the first one. So we really appreciate that so much. But yeah, we will try and incorporate that for sure.
Yeah.
And the next email is a reminder from David B. Thank you so much. I don't know what I would do without David B, because he reminds me of important things and lets me know a lot of really, really cool, interesting things. So tomorrow there's going to be a live Twitter chat with Jane Espenson during the episode. And so let's see here. Okay. And I don't have the link. I am going to put it up on a post or tweet it out or something. But yeah, tomorrow it's going to be a live Twitter chat from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. So we're going to have to, I think, it's going to be a little different for the East Coast. They probably have to wait a little bit. So,
oh, maybe.
Okay, cool.
Is it 9 p.m. West Pacific
time?
Yeah,
the deputies have that link. And if you can post it on the Mixlr chat, that'll be cool for now. Mm-hmm. And then I'll post it later on. I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you so much. This is so neat. I can't believe I got people helping. This It's really... I can't... I dreamed about this for years. I really did.
Yeah, you did.
It's coming together. It's just really incredible to kind of watch this whole thing just evolve.
And that's because this is not technically our first podcast. I mean, we've done other stuff. Nothing really, you know, very specific. It was all just very generic podcasting stuff. But this is the first time we've had really strong following of listeners who are vested in what we're talking about because they love the thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they're volunteering and helping out. And it's fantastic. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. So anyway, just I appreciate everything so much. Everything, just deputies, listeners, just so much. So, we now our interview that we did with the Those Darn Cats podcast, is coming up on the Tuesday the 14th. That's when ours is going to post. So it's a
Tuesday
of a Valentine's Day.
I thought it was Wednesday, but maybe it's Tuesday.
It's a Valentine's Day gift for the listeners.
Oh, there it is.
Of the Those Darn Cats. So I will post that once that goes live. And that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
Lisa's really cool. She's really fun.
And I hope that's not our last podcast interview.
No, that'd be nice to have another
hint. So, Torty Prism asks, what other shows or stuff did you podcast for before? I'll try and encapsulate because if I really explain, we'll be here a while. I did a Star Wars parody show that I think three people thought were funny. One of them was me.
And one of them was me.
Yeah. And there's like two or other people maybe. And then I did a Roni's Own Radio, which was a whatever I wanted to talk about.
Yep.
And I think the same two people probably listened to that show.
Yeah.
And then I did some fan audio productions. I did a science fiction one. It was called New World Army.
It's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
We have some amazing friends who are very talented voice actors, and they did an amazing job.
Yeah, and you can find New World Army on new.roniezone.com. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I also have done some – I did a little mystery thing, like
old radio
show. Old radio. It was called The Stalker.
Yeah.
And it was about these two investigators that found this this really strange guy that was bothering people who were trying to get a peace treaty together. And the person they caught said that they were the devil. Mm-hmm. And so it was, is the guy crazy? Is he true? So that was kind of fun.
It was interesting. It was very, very well done.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, I mean, as far as we haven't done any podcasts for a specific television show or movie or anything like that, it's just our own little reviews and things. We do audio booze as well every once in a while.
The only podcast she and I really did on a fairly consistent basis was, it's called Really Roni Podcast. And you can find that at new.roniezone.com.
And that's just, that was just us, you know, expressing our opinions about funny things that would happen to us. Like when we saw the lady who was wearing what looked like a Swiss Miss costume in the middle of like December in Target, you know, little funny things like that, or people throwing temper tantrums and doing crazy weird things in the grocery stores and stuff. So
yeah. And then I had a blog, Men Are Dumb and I Should Know. That was kind of fun.
And that was very fun.
So, but anyway, enough about that. Now let's get back to Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Our next email is from Helga. So it says, hi, Jeff and Colleen. I am attempting to put my crazy ass theory into words. So let's see here. Okay. All right. Let's see. Regina is the Miller's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Her father, the Miller who bragged that his daughter could turn straw into gold. His lies were his effort to give his daughter her best chance after his mean wife left him or died or whatever. Daddy just wants the best, even if it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
The basic story of Rumpelstiltskin spins straw into gold. Final night, promise your firstborn, learns his name and keeps the child. The part of the fairy tale left out is keep my name a secret because names hold power.
Mm-hmm.
The king was a good man. Had a daughter, lost his beloved wife, left with a daughter, searching the kingdom for a woman, for a woman who truly special to raise snow, and comes upon Miller. Spin. Not my baby. Don't take my baby. Guess my name in 3 days, happily ever after. Or did they? Evil Queen and the King are married, have a child, a son, if you will, heir to the throne. Evil Queen most cherished as mother of son, tells his little girl a secret about how she almost lost the one she loved the most. Regina reveals to young Snow the name. Children don't keep secrets. Maybe they tell a little bird who tells a golden man. All magic comes with a price. Secret revealed. Child is lost. King is not the kind to be angry. So instead, he is sad. Snow is all that can cheer him up. Evil Queen becomes jealous of Snow, costs her child and the love of the king. On an aside, Miller feels terrible that he put his daughter into the situation to begin with. Willing to do anything, including give up his life to make up for the loss of his child. Pretty sure lost love has to do with a man, King Leo, but also seems like the love of a mother, Miller grandbaby. Just a thought. That is interesting.
Yeah. There's a lot of different points to that.
You're knitting is.
I'm knitting. It's no.
Okay.
Because I can't see how it's written. It was very hard for me to understand how it was intended to be written.
I'd like you to read the next one.
Oh my
one.
Goodness. Really?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
This is a long one. Very long one. Okay. This one. Sorry, I'm going to have to put my knitting down here. Okay. Let's see. Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I was really excited to hear you read my email about the Snow White and Cinderella wedding and pregnancy timeline. I've been debating about writing about this for a while, but I can't hold back any longer. In the original Rumpelstiltskin fairy tale, a miller bragged that his daughter could spin straw to gold to the king. The king shut her in a room full of straw and commanded her to spin it into gold 3 nights in a row, saying that if she didn't, she'd die, and if she did, he'd make her queen. Rumpelstiltskin appeared and offered to do it for her in exchange for the jewelry she owned the first 2 nights. The last night, though, she had no more jewelry, and being afraid that she would lose her life, agreed to let him have her firstborn child. But when the time came, she did not want to give up her child. Rumpelstiltskin then offered her another deal. She had 3 days to guess his name, and if she did, she could keep the child. She wasn't able to guess the first or second day, so she sent people out to ask around for names. One of these people happened across Rumpelstiltskin singing to himself about how no one could ever guess his name as Rumpelstiltskin. On the third day, the queen throws a few normal names out first, then suggests maybe his name is Rumpelstiltskin. As we know, Regina's last name is Mills, so it's not too far a leap to assume that she might be a miller's daughter, or at the very least, is meant to be equated to one. And that this general storyline is how she came to be chosen to be the king's wife. And Mr. Rumpelstiltskin, Mr. Gold, can spin both spin straw to gold and loves making deals. But he's also very into details. And if they use this part of the original fairy tale, then technically the queen was not able to guess his name. She was told his name by someone who overheard it straight from the horse's mouth. So when she threw that name out there, she knew it was his name. I think that she told Snow White this secret, and Snow told or let it slip to Rumpelstiltskin that someone who then told Rumpelstiltskin. And so Rumpelstiltskin came and collected what he would consider rightfully his, since she was not able to fulfill her part of the deal, causing Regina to lose her child, all because Snow wasn't able to keep quiet. I'm thinking this could also have caused her to lose her love. Maybe at first she really was in love with the king and vice versa, but when Rumpelstiltskin came back to take the child, the king lost that loving feeling for Regina for making the deal to give up the child in the first place. So Snow's inability to keep her secret cost her both her child and her love. I think that would make it pretty hard for her to give... pretty hard for her to forgive Snow, and that double whammy loss would make her desire to take away all the happy endings a lot more understandable. I hope you enjoyed listening to this probably crazy theory. Thanks for all you do, Heather. I've heard that a couple of times, and I could totally see them going that route with this. And I think a lot of people would agree that chances are good it may very well be that same theory or some variation of it. And I agree. I think it's very plausible that Snow White told Rumpelstiltskin or somehow let it slip, you know.
She seemed to have a connection with him. and at least she was comfortable going to him and kind of knew about him and all this. So I do think the story about another child, I think, is a viable story, a viable theory about that story.
True.
So, and it could
very
be,
true.
You know, it that could be the secret that she lost, because she is pretty broken up, you know, like we keep hearing about children that aren't staying. And, you know, Regina is pretty set on,
yeah.
you know, he's my son, Henry's mine, and you're not his mother, you gave him up, and that kind of a thing. So, I mean, I think it makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Heather then replied back to us again, and she said, "Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I just listened to the latest podcast and heard that someone else also had the same basic theory about Regina's secret. Although that theory didn't include the love part and then did go into more detail or more dealing with Storybrooke, just thought that was a pretty crazy coincidence." Yeah, and like I said, we've had a couple people who've thought that that was a possibility. So, yeah. Interesting.
What I think is even more interesting than that is, you know, when you have multiple shows going on and you have multiple people, and some people listen to ours and other shows, and that's fine. But it's like with all those people kind of vying to create theories, not create theories, but have theories about different things, you are going to have just similar type of theories come up. You know, sometimes people like me and other people, you know, just come up with these crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's just totally crazy.
But that's because I think, you know, with the show, there's so many routes they could go.
Right.
There's so many different endings and paths and choices that they could take with it. And things would end differently if you, you know, go down these certain paths. It's kind of like that old storybooks that they used to, or books that they used to produce back in the 80s, I know for sure, and I want to say into the even into the 90s, where it was choose your own ending.
Right.
Or if you'd read to a certain point and it would say, does the character do this or does the character do that? And you pick one of them and it tells you to go to a certain page and you pick up the story from there, and then you run into another roadblock or, you know, fork in the road. Does it do this? You know, which do you know? And so you could read the book many times and have a different story every time. So it was kind of, I think it's kind of an interesting concept. That's where I think a lot of people get that. That's just my thinking.
Yep.
Okay. So we have yet another email, and this one is from Helga. "Hi, Jeff and Colleen. Do you think the burning of the pages called The Mysterious Stranger, or let me start over because I'm, do you think the burning of the pages called The Mysterious Stranger, writer Brother Grimm to Storybrooke, like the smoke from the burning pages were a signal that a new ending is needed? I ask this while remembering in Mary Poppins when Mr. Banks tears up the advertisement mentioned or written by the children, and magically Mary Poppins received it and answered it." So just thought. And yes, Helga, that is an interesting,
that's brilliant. Yeah,
interesting,
it really is.
Theory, because yep. again, yeah, if in fact he is, which there's debate over whether or not he is the Grimm brother or the writer or whomever, is he, you know, was he summoned somehow? How did he know to come in at that point in time? And I wouldn't be surprised one bit if it's the fact that he's going to finish the book, and because the pages were burned, therefore he needs to rewrite the ending again.
Well, and smoke is always a kind of a signal. Now, look, I know that when she burned the pages, it's not this black smoke going up in the sky. But I mean,
but smoke is used in fairy tales because if you think about it, actually in Sleeping Beauty, in the Disney movie, we'll refer to that. The Disney movie, the fairies, when they're doing their when they're trying to get prepared for Aurora's birthday, well, Briar Rose, her birthday celebration, they were trying to do it by hand and they had no clue how to make a cake or sew a dress or anything like that. So what they did was they just this once, and they closed up all the windows and shutters and doors and made sure they put, you know, anything underneath so that you couldn't see the magic, but they forgot about the fireplace. And so when they got going and they started zapping everything in sight and kind of having a fairy wand fight with their fairy wands, the blue and pink smoke kept coming out of the chimney. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that is, in fact, a signal of some sort somehow.
Okay. There's a question came up about a timeline on the website, and we have no timeline. However, a great gentleman named Gareth over at onceuponatimefans.co.uk does have a great timeline.
Yes.
So please go over and check that timeline out. I know Gareth has worked so hard on that website over there. It is really, really, really cool. And I mentioned it before. I remember when that site was only like a week old, and he was just basically putting it together. And so always go and check out what he's got there. So many great things. I think he told me one time that Jared, who plays Henry,
yes,
his father joined that site over there. So
yeah,
a lot of really cool stuff's going on. So yeah, go check the timeline out there.
They have a really good one. That's yep, awesome. All right. This looks like it might be our last email.
Okay.
Is that true? Wow. And this is another longer one, but this is good. This is from Obie's Girl. And it says, "Hey, Jeff, I didn't start thinking about this until today, but maybe Desperate Souls is the first act of Rumpel's Greek tragedy. And basically, tragedy depicts the downfall of a basically good person through some fatal error of misjudgment, producing suffering and insight on the part of the protagonist, and arousing pity and fear on the part of the audience." Hmm. So that's the definition of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that even further, we know Emma is the hero of the story, but Rumpel, Mr. Gold, could he be the tragic hero, the one who turns good at the last minute with some great sacrifice to save everyone else? I get that Rumpel didn't start out noble. He was a lonely man with only his son as his company, but his desire to save his son from the horrors of the Ogre War forced him to take desperate measures and foolishly put him on a quest to control the Dark One, without even realizing that by killing the Dark One, he took on his curse. It may even be possible that everything we have seen Rumpel do in fairy tale world flashbacks are all about freeing himself from the Dark One's curse. That is very similar to the beginning journey of a tragic hero. Here's another little tidbit. In a true tragedy, the hero's demise must come as a result of personal error or decision. There's no such thing as a victim of tragedy, nor a genuinely tragic downfall ever, nor can a genuinely tragic downfall ever be purely a matter of blind luck or accident. The hero must always bear at least some responsibility for his own doom. So, what would be Mr. Gold's motivation for helping Emma? If Mr. Gold does have some memory of his life as Rumpel, and maybe even knowledge of the curse, I think he would be the first to realize, probably even before Regina, that being Storybrooke with all his wealth and power doesn't necessarily make him happy. He's empty. As a result, he may side with our hero Emma to help her break the curse. While Emma may want to break the curse the right way, Mr. Gold may have other morally gray ideas about how to break the Queen's curse, which could cause conflict between them. But for Mr. Gold, breaking the Evil Queen's curse will be about redemption, since he was the originator of the curse. Finally, the end battle. In a Greek tragedy, the hero makes some grand sacrifice to save everyone. Could Mr. Gold make some sacrifice to save the people of Storybrooke, and by sacrificing himself, earn his redemption in the eyes of those he wronged? I also want to talk about Mr. Gold's Rumpel's evilness. I had a discussion with my boyfriend about his evilness, and he brought up the classification system used in Dungeons & Dragons, and I guess other MMO games. So, that could be applied to characters on Once Upon a Time, specifically Mr. Gold and Rumpel. So, here we have the three characterizations. Rumpel would be chaotic evil. So, chaotic evil is referred to as the destroyer or demonic alignment. Characters of this alignment tend to have no respect for rules, other people's lives, or anything but their own desires, which are typically selfish and cruel. They set a high value on personal freedom, but do not have any regard for the lives or freedom of other people. They do not work well in groups, as they resent being given orders, and usually behave themselves only out of fear of punishment. It is not compulsory for a chaotic evil character to be constantly performing sadistic acts just for the sake of being evil, or constantly disobeying orders just for the sake of causing chaos. They do, however, enjoy the suffering of others and view honor and self-discipline as weaknesses. While Mr. Gold could be considered a neutral evil is called the malefactor alignment. Characters of this alignment are typically selfish and have no qualms about turning on their allies of the moment. They have no compunctions about harming others to get what they want, but neither will they go out of their way to cause carnage or mayhem when they see no direct benefit to it. They abide by laws for only as long as it is convenient for them. A villain of this alignment can be more dangerous than either lawful or chaotic evil characters, since he is neither bound by any sort of honor or tradition, nor disorganized and pointlessly violent. But Mr. Gold could also be lawful evil. Lawful evil is referred to as the dominator or diabolic alignment. Characters of this alignment see a well-ordered system as being easier to exploit and show a combination of desirable and undesirable traits. While they usually obey their superiors and keep their word, they care nothing for the rights and freedoms of other individuals and are not averse to twisting the rules to work in their favor. Examples of this alignment include tyrants, devils, undiscriminating mercenary types who have a strict code of conduct, and loyal soldiers who enjoy the act of killing. Like good lawful good paladins, lawful evil characters may sometimes find themselves faced with the dilemma of whether to obey law or evil when the two conflict. However, their issues with law versus evil are more concerned with will I get caught versus how does this benefit me? If you contrast Mr. Gold with Regina, from what we've seen of Regina so far, she is evil to the core. Everything she does relates to her revenge against Snow White. We haven't seen her do anything good. That being said, she's more of a two-dimensional villain at this point. But that can always change later. So, and she was really excited about, can't wait to listen to the podcast, and woohoo, another new Once episode tomorrow.
Yep.
Yay! That is a really interesting study on the classification of evil.
Yeah. The it is interesting, just the idea of what's good and what's evil, and that they've kind of toyed with that. You know, even just the last little exchange between Mary Margaret when Sydney was there with Emma. It was, well, wait a minute. Isn't it okay if we do a bad thing for a good reason? It's something that's going to, you know, basically two people are going to end up together. Isn't that okay to do a bad thing?
It's that moral justification for justification for something that may otherwise be viewed as immoral.
And there's been a lot of times where, you know, Regina will do something wrong, but then find a way to kind of spin it around
and say,
well, I did it for this reason, you know, and even, where was it? It was somebody was saying, oh, it was,
and she's
Archie. No. It was Archie was saying that Regina couldn't pin anything on Emma because a mother doing something wrong for the good of the child, that she could not be, she couldn't get in trouble for it. And so it's interesting to hear all these different types of, not really justification, but it is discussing good and evil and doing bad things in a certain situation actually is good.
Right.
So it's very interesting to kind of look back over that.
Because if you really look at things, you know, you have people in this world who believe that everything is black and white. There is no gray. And then you have people who believe that it's all gray. There is no black and white. Everything's just real gray. And then you have people who have an understanding that it's black and white and there's order to it. But then there's also, there are gray exceptions. So, you know, the whole thing of, you know, stealing is bad. We all know that, right?
Right.
But if you're stealing to feed your starving child and you're not even feeding yourself, you're just doing it to get your food for your child, you kind of look at that and go, okay, the stealing part's bad, but the compassion and the care and concern of a parent doing that for their child,
right,
that's the good. So where do you draw the line? Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting thing. And I think we have some of these characters that like she was saying, is that they do things, you know, the evil one that's evil to the core, they do it and they don't have any care concern. It's, you know, there's no black and white. It's just, it's all gray and it's all up to their whim and what have you. And Regina kind of does fall into that category.
Yeah. That wasn't Archie that said that. I think it was Archie. Emma. No, I think it was Emma. Cause I was wondering about that. Now, Ashley broke into his store.
Right.
Hit him.
Yep.
And so she knocked him out.
She should have been arrested.
Broke in.
Right.
And so
she should have been arrested for breaking and entering,
right,
as well as assault.
Right. And it's interesting that the only person that has ever been arrested and or put in jail is actually two people.
Emma and Leroy.
And Emma.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mean to tell me that no one else breaks any laws?
Right.
In Storybrooke?
Apparently this
is the most perfect town ever.
Of course it is.
You know,
it's a fairy tale world that doesn't exist.
Well, but I mean, just little comments like, you know, when Emma was talking to Graham,
yep,
and you know, he said, well, there's not much bounty hunting around here. And she goes, well, there's not much sheriffing going on here either. Right. So it is kind of funny to say that. So
true. And it's funny because the sheriff does an awful lot of duties that really aren't normal sheriff duties, by the way.
Helping out at the animal shelter and then not getting there. So anyway, I have one more email and then we're going to talk about a password.
Okay.
So, oh, that's right. Gold should be in jail for arson.
Yeah, he
Thanks,
should be.
Manny. Thanks, Manny.
Yeah, that's excellent great. Point, actually, yeah. But see, again, well, he did it to help Emma get elected, right?
Right. So this whole web is kept together by, well, the reason I did this, and the reason I did this is for this, and then this, and it all kind of
right.
hooks together. You know, sort of like the, well, why did you use magic? Well, I used magic to, you know, for the betterment of whatever, the farm or the kingdom or the whatever.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, the whole point of, you know, and I know this is not necessarily, I mean, I think it's kind of a moral dilemma. It's my own personal moral dilemma, I guess, is, you know, James marrying Abigail, promising to marry Abigail when he doesn't love her.
Right.
And that's just. You know, that's just my personal belief is that if you don't love someone, you shouldn't be marrying them.
Yeah.
And but again, he did it to save his mother and to save the kingdom and, you know, for the greater good. And sometimes that's the thing. That's where I think it gets really sticky because, you know, what is the greater good according to who? And, it, you know, is it your own personal agenda?
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. And many times you've told me I should be a lawyer, and it's true because I can justify the heck out of anything. I had a conversation right. with a very dear friend today, and we were discussing something, and realized we were kind of. I ended up having to justify the conversation, and I said that scares me because I'm actually really good at it. Should have been a lawyer.
Absolutely. Anywho. And I wish you were.
Yeah, me too sometimes.
We'd have better equipment or something. I don't know. So anyway, Dave from Michigan sent me a fantastic email. Thanks, Dave, so much.
Awesome.
And he basically takes me through his path to find our show, which I think is really fascinating. He mentions that he used to listen to the Lost podcast with Jay and Jack, and that was a fantastic podcast and it ran forever
mm-hmm.
and they actually had one of the only finale parties in Hollywood, and I believe that Michael Emerson was there and I think somebody else was there as well. There's a couple of prominent actors from the series that were there. So yeah, Jay and Jack, yeah, that's they were the bomb right there.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I think it was Jack that was on a Lost Mirror Moments podcast, and he was on the phone, and I got to call in and talk to him a little bit.
That's awesome.
And that was pretty cool.
Yep.
So anyhow.
So I want to play a little guessing game. See if anybody can guess the password. I think that's
No. I need to finish the email.
Oh,
here.
I'm sorry. I thought you were
almost,
finished with
almost.
It. Okay, my apologies. Okay.
So yeah, Lost ended, and Dave said that, you know, there was a hole in his soul for Lost. And so he was watching Flash Forward and V and Dollhouse and different things, and he started to hear about Once Upon a Time. And he knew that Jane Espenson was a part of it. And she'd been writing for Buffy and Angel and Battlestar Galactica, Caprica, mm-hmm. Dollhouse, True Calling, Gilmore Girls, and Torchwood. So Jane, who's going to be doing the live tweet tomorrow,
yes,
is going to – she's been writing forever and a lot of great stuff. So he looked on iTunes, found our podcast, and started listening, and he said, I had no idea. Let's see. Because he said he listened to the podcast and he heard about the voicemail line. And he knew it was fate. He said, I had a way to share my theories and with some intelligent people. Thank you. You're far too kind to help me suss out what is nuts and what is actually a well thought out theory I can hang my hat on. I had no idea it would become the best podcast on my iPod 2 or 3 times a week, or that I would become friends with the people I have never met in person and would never have a vocal conversation with. I know that you're repeatedly saying that you aren't the official podcast for the show, but to any fan of the show, you should be. And I believe probably are for the most. You are the resource for the show. Thank you so much for everything you've done for all us Oncers. And that's very touching. And I really appreciate that. So
that's awesome.
You've talked to a few times in the past about doing a meetup, and he kind of brought up the same kind of idea where maybe setting up a theater for the season 2 premiere. So we'll definitely look into that. I mean, everything's wide open here.
Yeah.
So I definitely will check into that. Let's see. So I'm thinking about this, it says here. We never see Mr. Gold interact with the mysterious stranger. That's a valid point, yeah.
Not yet, not so far.
I am wondering who will react when they cross paths. Will Mr. Gold know who he is and get proactive to rid the town of him? Will he know who Mr. Gold, will the mysterious stranger know who Mr. Gold really is and try to stop him from completing whatever his end game is? Will they both know the other and stare each other down and act like nothing happened? Or will the two of them meeting be the snake in the mailbox moment that Lost was so good at? And no one will be able to predict what that means. So that's a good point. And, you know, you could have two sides of the story there. We will definitely wait and see. But it's really interesting to watch this show kind of unroll. And so, but yeah, Mr. Gold seems to have a lot of things going on. But this mysterious stranger is definitely got a lot of people in Storybrooke on edge.
Yeah.
As well as other parts of the world. Right, Saweetie?
That's true.
Okay, so a few predictions for tomorrow night that I see. And it's going to tie into the password and all that.
Okay.
So the I predict, since in the sneak peeks we've heard the term ogre, ogres, I think we will see our first glimpse of Ernst.
Who plays the ogre?
Who plays the burly man and the ogre. So that's what I really think. And one of the photos that are in this post that I'm about to give the password to, I believe is where the burly man, Ernst, works.
Okay.
So, and you'll see it and you'll say, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. So that's a little tease there. So I think it's going to be interesting to see Mr. Gold in another fairy tale. And I gave you my crazy theory about how he gets in there, but we will see. So is everybody ready for the password? Everybody ready?
Yeah, but do you want to? I want to play a little game. See if they can guess. We'll give them little clues and see if somebody can guess it.
Okay, I don't want. All right.
It's not going to be that long. It should take a couple minutes. And if people
I just don't want anybody to get confused and it not working. So go ahead.
We'll officially say what it is if somebody guesses. Keep an eye on Mixler there. Okay, so the first clue would be it is a character name.
Right.
That we've seen a couple of times earlier on in the episode.
Okay.
Anybody have any guesses? Give it a little. Should we play our little do 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 do.
Because I know sometimes it takes just a bit of time.
It does.
To type. Okay, Karen mentioned that she's been guessing, and I'm sorry. I didn't see
all
that. It's not Ruby Watch. I'll tell you that. That's a good guess,
though.
Not the password.
No. Next clue is if you look in the first few episodes,
Blue Fairy.
I'm pretty sure you will spot this character.
Okay, now where should they be looking? Where?
in the first couple of episodes,
okay,
you would spot this character.
Okay.
That was a big clue.
Is it Wolf?
Ooh.
It's not Granny, unfortunately, Karen.
No, but that's a good guess, too.
Good guess, too.
So it's a character from the first couple of episodes.
Right.
We haven't seen this character recently.
Nope.
And you might spot this character if you look at the first couple of episodes.
It's not Archie Hopper. That's a good guess, too.
That is a very good guess.
But they may be connected to that
character. You're on the right track. If you sniff around a little bit more.
It's not Sleepy. That's a good guess, too.
That's a good guess, too. If you sniff around the first few episodes, you will probably find this character as well. Any more guesses?
It's not Geppetto. That's a good guess because we haven't seen him in a while.
Yes. But no, it is not Geppetto. Anybody else?
It's coming. It's coming. Pongo. That's it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Excellent work. Excellent work. Now, here's the thing. It's Pongo, all lowercase.
Yes.
Okay. So, someone please try it and please tell me it works. So, please go out to the website. It should be the first. Okay.
We got confirmation that somebody's in.
Yay, got in. Okay, perfect. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yay.
So, we're going to end the live show here. This has been a lot of fun. You know, kind of a shorter show, but there's a lot of things really to talk about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do appreciate all that you do. And if we all work together, we're going to take this show to the next level.
Yeah.
So we're here for you and we care about you guys. And please take care of each other. And we will see you next time.
Actually, we have a show tomorrow night because we have the show tomorrow night.
Yep.
So first thoughts will be out. And yeah.
Get your first thoughts first here.
Yep.
At onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yep.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
Thanks, guys, so much, okay?
Been fun, guys.
Take care.
See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.